John chapter 4. We'll begin in verse number 46. John chapter 4, verse 46. So Jesus came again into Canaan of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea unto Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and went his way. And as he was going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour that he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole household. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea unto Galilee. So the first miracle was turning water into wine. The first miracle was, you know, taking that they used to cleanse your hands and your feet. He changed that and put the cleansing on the inside of man. Change the water pots from water pots to wash your flesh and made the water into wine, and it cleansed the inner part of man. Isn't that amazing? So, we'd like to think on this verse number 49. The nobleman said unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. And you just ponder on that a minute. So this man came to where the Lord was, came where Jesus was, and yet his son was a ways off. And he says, Lord, if you don't come down, my son is going to die. You think of the condition of mankind. The sons of man, you know, in the determinate counsel of God, I believe we could look and we could see the nobleman say, Father, if you don't come down, the whole family is going to die. Lord, if you don't come down, there's no hope for my sons. And you know, that's been all along. So thinking along that line, and I believe we're going to see this too. We're going to see that the Lord came down to Canaan of Galilee in the first miracle. He came down. But you know what he did in the second miracle? He sent the Word down. The Word of God. So if we think about this, you know, the law came down. That was really God. You might say, well, now that wasn't God. Well, it was holy and it was pure. And I don't know of anything else that's holy and pure but God. And it was spiritual, really. But you know, there was no compassion in that. No compassion whatsoever. And man was actually slain by the law. The law that came down brought man to the point of death. Did it not? Now you think about that. If it had not been, I believe that's the noose, Anthony. I believe the law is the snare. And unless a man gets caught in the snare, I don't believe there's not any praise for God. I mean, you look at our world today and look at how many people has any praise for God. I'll say this, if you had a noose around your neck and it was choking the life out of you, and there was a man that came down and had mercy upon you, just like that woman down there at Simon's house, you know what she did? I tell you, she was there behind the Lord Jesus Christ, a friend anointing him with the tears that was coming out of her eyes, was rubbing him with the hair on her head. Her glory was poured out on the Lamb of God because of what he had done for her. I tell you, the law, ladies and gentlemen, brought us to the point of death. And this man says to the Lord Jesus, "Sir, ere thou come down, my son is going to die." Thank God that there was a way made. Thank God that the Lord Jesus came down, that man doesn't have to die in his sins and face God and go to hell. Thank God that the Lord Jesus came down. He says in the psalm, I believe it's psalm number 40. He says there in that psalm, he waited upon the Lord. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says to us there in that 40th psalm, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. And he brought me up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a solid rock and establish my going." I'll say this, he came down. Thank God he came down to where we were, or there would have been no hope. He came down to the place that we were in. He came down that you and I wouldn't die. And you know something? I believe this man made a statement, not realizing what the Lord was going to do. But I tell you this, his only hope is that the Lord would come down ere his son was going to die. Friend, if it had not been for the compassion of Almighty God, if it hadn't been for the love of God, there wouldn't be a one of us, a friend, headed to heaven today, but we would all be on our way to hell. If it had not been that God saw fit, I'd have come down. And you might say, well, that's not true. Oh, it's so true. The Lord Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. And friend, he came down that you and I could be delivered from the hand of the devil, that we could be delivered from death, that we could be delivered from sin, that we could be delivered from the snare of the devil, that we could be delivered from ourselves. Thank God that God came down in the person of Jesus Christ. Sir, if you don't come down, my son is going to die. I'm going to say this to you. If the Lord doesn't come down, your son and your daughter and yourself and your mother and your daddy, they're all going to die. And I'm not talking about that they're going to die and be planted in the graveyard. They're going to die and lift their eyes in a burning hell outside of the Lord coming down. So let's just think about that thought for a few moments. A few moments. Let's look in the book of John, chapter number 1, and look at the Lord come down. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Listen, the Bible says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." You know what happened? The Word came down. Who was the Word? The Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word came down. And how low did God come? I tell you that He came down to dwell with us.
And you can look at that and you can say that he came to dwell with us for 33 and a third years. But I say this, thank God he came down, friend, and made a way that he could dwell with us forever. Friend, not only did he come down in the person of Jesus Christ, came down to the flesh. He says in the Psalm, I believe it's Psalm number 139, verse 15. Do you know what the Lord did? The Lord came down to the lowest place. And you might not like that or might disagree with that. But Psalm 139, listen to what the psalmist says to us here in this word. Verse number 15, my substance. Now, what's the psalmist saying? My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. You know where the psalmist was being wrought? He was in the womb of his mother, and God Almighty knew about it. Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ came down to the lowest part of the earth? Friend, I say this respectfully, any place any dirtier, any place any more beautiful on one side, any place any more filthy on the other side, but the Lord Jesus Christ came down to the womb of a woman, came down, friend, to the lowest place upon the earth by the Word of God. Friend, I don't believe that it's ascended into hell. No, ma'am, and no, sir. But I believe, friend, that He came from heaven down to the lowest part of the earth and, friend, was made as a man like you and I that we could be saved. Sir, ere you come down, my son is going to die. The Lord came down. But now listen, the Lord came down in John chapter number 1, John chapter number 1, and the Word was made flesh and dwelled among us. And we beheld His glory as the only glory of the Father, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Isn't that wonderful that there was grace and truth in this God that came down? You see, when God came down on Mount Sinai, He sent down a Word that had no mercy. He sent down a Word that had no compassion. He sent down a Word, a friend, that was written on tables of stone. But thank God, God came down in the flesh of the Son of God. The Word came down in the person of Jesus Christ. And you know what He said? He was full of grace and truth. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. If He hadn't have come down, we would all be on the road to hell today. Only way to get to God before Jesus was to do the law. All of the law. That's right. Are you saying that nobody made it before Jesus? No, I'm saying that through the law you had to do it all. Moses, Abraham, Elijah, what did they have? They had faith that God was going to send a Messiah. And God came down in the book of John, chapter number 1. God came down. Sir, come down. Come down ere my son dieth. So the Word came down. And I want you to think about this both as God and also the spoken Word. So Jesus said to the nobleman, He said, thy son liveth. Right? Thy son liveth. He went believing. And do you know that word that was made flesh and dwelled among us, that word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ, that word is able to save the souls of men. That word, ladies and gentlemen, out of His mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. That was the Word of God. Friend, that Word has to come down. That Word has to come down to the heart of a man. That Word has to come into your heart. And friend, that Word is alive. And that Word, friend, that Word was God. And that Word was with God. And that Word was made flesh. And that Word came and dwelled among us. And that Word was a Word of power that had the ability to change a life.
So does the flesh, the fleshly Jesus Christ. Any chance of Him coming to me today? What about His Word? Could His Word come to me today? Now He and the Word are the same, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So the Word and God are the same. And the Word that was made flesh was the person of Jesus Christ. So, sir, if you don't come down, my son is going to die. What did Jesus do? Friend, when He made the water into wine, friend, He was there in person. When He healed this man's son, He sent the Word. Friend, the Word today will do the job of the person of Jesus Christ. The Word today, seasoned with the Spirit of God, will do the same job that Jesus Christ could do while He was walking upon the face of the earth. I'll tell you this, folks. We're not coming up short-handed today. The Word of God will do the job. I'll tell you what this is. Friend, this is Jeremiah's hammer to break the stone. This is the lion, friend, to conquer the other lion. This is the Word of God forever settled in heaven. And I want you to know this. The Word of God will accomplish that is sent to do. Sir, come down. Ere my son dies. Sir, come down. Come down, ere my child die. Let's look in Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now listen, if he has to empty himself of his place of authority, it's not going to change him. He doesn't have to hold on to that. He doesn't have to come to the world and show his authority. But I tell you what he did by this Word of God. But made of himself of no reputation. That means to empty oneself. What did Jesus do? Jesus emptied himself. Follow this verse with me. Verse number 7. But made himself of no reputation. Means to empty oneself. And took on him the form. So that means the nature. He took on him the nature of a servant or a slave. What did the Lord... Now you think with me, friend, this is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is God in the flesh. He came to this earth and emptied himself and, friend, came in the form of a servant. He came to be a slave. Would you say that he came down? If he had not come down, every one of us would have died. But look at this. Look how that this God and this man of God and this son of God and this son of man comes down. Verse 7. But he made himself of no reputation, emptied himself, and took upon him the nature of a servant, of a slave, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion, in the condition of a man, he humbled himself. So what does that word mean? That word means to be made low. So you know what the Lord is doing? Not only has He been made low, and friend, His place of authority, and friend, His God-likeness
in the flesh has been taken away, and he's become in the condition like a man. But I'll tell you what he's going to do. Our friend, he's going to humble himself even as a man and become the lowest of men. I tell you what, he's coming down to get on the plane of every man, woman, boy, or girl that has ever been born upon the face of the earth. He's coming down to get on the plane that they're on. I don't care how wicked, how vile, how ungodly, how wretched, how filthy that they are, the Son of God is bringing himself down to a place that he can be on the same plane as they are, that he can have compassion upon them.
Right.
Sir, if you don't come down, my child is going to die. What words? Lord, if you don't come down, there's no hope. Paul sees him in Philippians. And he being found in fashion, he being found in the condition as a man, he humbled himself. He made himself low and became obedient. What does that mean? Oh, I'll tell you what he became. Friend, he became in line with. He lined up with. He became obedient unto death. What kind of a death? Now listen. You know, I believe there's honorable death. Don't you? I believe that if it was possible that a mother or daddy could take the place of their child, that would be a place, a friend, a place that they would be willing to go and an honorable thing to do. Many men and women have died through the years an honorable death, a friend that someone else could live. But you know what the Lord's going to do? The Lord's going to come to not an honorable death. He's going to come to a shameful death. He's going to come to a death on the cross. He's going to come to a death, a friend, that the whole world is going to spit and mock and put a crown of thorns upon his head. He is going to come to a death that is of the utmost shame. Do you think he came down? He became obedient unto death. Obedient. Who's requiring this death? I believe around 8 billion people upon the earth today. Between 155 and 160,000 people die every day. So he came down and was obedient unto death. That those 160,000 people that's died in the last 24 hours, he could take their place. How many people has he died for from today backwards 6,000 years? How many people has the Son of God died for? Were they good people? Honorable people? Fine people? Wonderful people? I tell you what he died for. He died for sinners. He died for people that had a noose around their neck. And friend, they got there by their own doings. They got there because they were born sinners. They got there because that was their nature to sin. They got there and the noose tightened tighter and tighter and tighter around them because they were rebellious against the law of God. And Jesus became obedient unto death. Our friend, the death that I... You know what the Bible said? He has tasted death for every man. But I agree with what you said. He died in obedience unto the will of God. It was the will of God that God come down. It was the will of God that Jesus Christ come down, that you and I wouldn't die. It was the will of God that Jesus Christ would come down and, friend, that he would become so low. He would come through the womb. Now, you imagine this, that Almighty God came down and came through the womb of a woman.
came down. And he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, for this reason, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth. I tell you what he did. He came down so low, friend, that you and I could be saved and accepted of God by his sacrifice. By the sacrifice of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ coming down, friend, Almighty God has raised him, exalted him, given him a name above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every name, friend, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, the things in heaven, the things upon the earth, and the things underneath the earth are going to praise the Lamb of God. Because he came down. You know, there was no man found worthy. John was weeping. John, I tell you what John was weeping about. John was weeping because mankind was headed to hell. John was weeping because the plan of God Almighty was sealed up. But Jesus, in the midst of the throne, stood a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And friend, he took the book out of him that sat upon the throne and began to open the seals. And you know what they did? Our friend, the 12 beasts, our friend, the 12 and 24, the elders and the four beasts and 10,000 times 10,000 angels began to praise and to honor and to glorify the Lamb that was going to come down. That you could be saved. And I could be saved. And as David said this morning, there's very little glory to the Lord Jesus today. Has he ever come down and spoken a word into your heart? Has he ever taken the noose off of your neck that was taking the life out of you? It seems to me like that if they were praising God, though they were saved, though the 12, the 24 elders and the four beasts and the 10,000 times 10,000 angels did not need salvation, John was weeping for what he saw. But I tell you, they praised God. Should we not praise God? Has he come down? Well, let's look again. Let's look in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high and led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Did he descend? Did he come down? Look what he came down to do. He came down, ladies and gentlemen, verse number 8. He came down to lead captivity captive. He came down to give gifts unto men. But do you know this? That he was in heaven and he came down to the lowest parts of the earth.
that you and I could be accepted of God, that we wouldn't have to die, that we could have the gift of God, that we could have the Holy Ghost. He came down, friend, and ascended back into glory. Now remember this, that He had to ascend back that He could give gifts unto men. When He ascended back into the New Jerusalem, when He ascended back into heaven, if you'll have it, I'll tell you what He did. He led captivity captive, and He led the captives, our friend, He led them in as well. Man was held by sin. Man was held by death. And the devil had the power over that. I'll tell you, friend, He had all of them in His power when He ascended back to heaven. And when He ascended back to heaven, 10 days after that, He sent us back the Holy Ghost. Listen to that verse. He that descended is the same also, verse 10, that ascended up far above all heavens, that He might fulfill all things. Do you know what He is? You're a receptacle, folks. You're a glass, if you'll have it that way. And He's the fountain. And the fountain is the Holy Ghost of God coming from He that is, our friend, the one that descended and ascended back unto heaven above, that all could be filled. That the fulfilling, if you'll have it that way, if you want to see it that way, on the Emmaus Road, I'll tell you what He did. He opened up the Scripture and told them that He fulfilled, and friend, from Moses all the way to Malachi, He fulfilled all of the gospel. He descended to do that. And He ascended that you and I could have the gifts of God. This is the Bible now. The Bible says that He saith when He ascended on high and led captivity captive. Were we in captivity? What was holding man? Well, death was holding man. The devil was holding man. Sin was holding man. Man was holding himself. He was unable to break himself free. It's just like Anthony said about the snare. Our friend, that animal is not able to free itself from the snare. I was unable. You were unable. We couldn't go ourselves any better. We couldn't free ourselves from the snare of the devil. We couldn't free ourselves from sin. We could not stop sinning. He came down. That a sinner that was at the point of death could be saved. He came down that you and I, not only could we be saved, but we could have the gifts that He purchased and paid for and made available unto the church. He's going to go on in the next verse and He's going to talk about apostles and evangelists and preachers and teachers. He's gave gifts unto the church. And you know who I am? I'm part of the church, friend, because God Almighty, I came down. Sir, ere you come down, my child is going to die. Thank God He came down. You know something? He came down to the lowest parts. He came down to the womb of a woman. They put Him in a tomb. Friend, they put Him in the heart of the earth, just like Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart, in the whale's belly. The Son of God was going to be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. No, ma'am, and no, sir, He didn't descend into hell. You can throw that doctrine out the window. He said, this day unto the thief, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Friend, Abraham, Lazarus was in the bosom of Abraham, and there was a great gulf between him and that man that was in hell. And that man that was in torment, the Lord Jesus Christ did not descend into hell. Praise God, He went to the garden of God.
So did the thief. There was no need for Him to go to hell. No need for Him to descend into hell.
those people that are in hell are not going to be delivered from hell, friend, until the final day of judgment, and they're going to come before the judgment bar of God Almighty. Death and hell shall deliver up the dead that are in them, and they shall be cast into the lake of fire that burneth forever and ever. The Son of God went into the heart of the earth. And the Son of God told the thief on the cross, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Preacher, now I don't know about that. Well, Ecclesiastes, I believe it's chapter 12. We'll just go there for a second. We'll be back to coming down in just a moment. So the Bible says this, talking about dying now. Talking about dying. Verse number 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. Is that not what the flesh is made out of? The flesh is made out of the dust. And the soul and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. I tell you what, friend. This right here that you're looking at is going back to the ground. Right. And that God breathed into man, that's going back to God. Right. He came down that you and I could be delivered from death. He came down. Sir, if you don't come down, my son's going to die. Oh, I'll tell you, thank God. You know what he did? He sent his word. Now, you might disagree with that. You might not think that's right. And let's look in the Old Testament and let's get a picture of it there. In the Old Testament, let's look at this. Chapter number 4, 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 4. Elisha is down at the Shunammite's house. You know what he's going to do? He's going to allow her to have a son. But you know something? That son's going to die. That son is going to die. Listen to what the Bible says. So he told her, you're going to have a son. I'm going to read just a few verses here and there. Hopefully we can get the point across. Verse 18. And when the child was grown, it fell on the day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. So now what do you reckon? What do you reckon that the spiritual implication of this verse is? The day came that the boy grew up and he went out to his father, to the reapers. This young man is ripe to die today. This young man is ripe to die. Listen to what he says. And the father said, the boy said to his father, my head, my head. What would be the spiritual implication there? Knowledge has come. Knowledge, ladies and gentlemen. We've come to the day that we're supposed to die. You know what brought us to death? Knowledge. The law brought us to the knowledge that we were going to die. Take him to his mother. What can his mother do? I'll tell you what his mother did. His mother tried to comfort him. His mother tried to dandle him on her knees. His mother tried to console him. His mother tried everything that she could do and bounced him on his knee, on her knee, until the noontime come and he died. Every one of our children are going to die. They're all going to die. I'm talking about spiritually. They're going to come to a place of knowledge. They're going to come to a place, and you might say, well, what about those out there in the world that's not going to church? They've still got a knowledge. They're still accountable. They're still accountable. You and I and these children and these adults that's grown up in the house of God are more accountable.
Right.
What can his mother do? I tell you where his mother's going. His mother is going to find the one that gave her the promise of this son. her mother is going to the one that said, you're going to have a son. And friend, she saddles the donkey, a friend, and heads down the road to Mount Carmel. Now listen to what this says. The Bible says, her husband said, where are you going? You can't find him today. It's not a Sabbath day. It's not a new moon. It's not a day that you'll know where he's at. It's not a day of religious worship. You can't get to the Word of God. I tell you what, she's got something in her heart that she's going to get to the Word of God. She's going there. Now, I realize this, and David said it this morning, I can't save anybody, but I tell you, she's not going to save anybody. She's not going to save anyone. She's going to the Word of God. She's going to the man of God. And she's going to get him to do the work. Yeah. So the Word of God says, her husband said, where are you going? It's not a new moon. It's not a Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Don't you worry about what day it is. I'm going to find him. I'm going to find my help for my son. I'm going to find my help for my family. And she saddled the ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward, slack not thy driving for me, except I bid thee. So she went and she came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. Where's he at? He's up there. I got to go up there. I got to go up there. Listen now. She went to Mount Carmel and came to pass that the man of God saw her afar off. He says to Gehazi, there's that Shunammite. Go down there and ask her, is it well? Go down there. Is it well? It's well. Get out of the way. I'm going to see the man of God. I'm going to go see the one that gave me the word. I'm going to him. So he finds out the problem, right? What does he do? Let's see if this will work. He said to Gehazi, verse 29, gird up thy loins, take my staff in thine hand, and go thy way. If you meet anybody, don't salute them. If anybody salutes you, don't say a word. Just keep a going. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. What's Gehazi? He's Elijah's or Elisha's servant. He's going to go down to the room and he's going to lay the staff on the face of this dead child. And you know what it's going to do? Nothing. He's going to come back and meet Elisha on the way because, see, this woman is not leaving unless he comes down. He's got to come down from Mount Carmel and he's going to come down and go with her. But on the way, Gehazi comes back and said, I did what you said and I laid the staff, I laid the law, I laid I laid that staff that you carry with you. I laid that on him, and there's no movement. There's no word. There's no life. You know what the law will do without Jesus? All it'll do is confirm that we're dead. Listen to the word. So the word says this. And Gehazi, 31, passed by, laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awake. It's going to take something more, isn't it? What's it going to take? I tell you what it's going to take. It's going to take the Word of God to come down. Elisha is the Word of God, if you'll have it. He's the Word of God. In flesh. Now, he's God's man. That's what she called him. And I believe that he is. I'm going to the man of God. That's what she told her husband. And you know what he is? He is the Word of God in flesh. He's going to come down. You know what he's going to do? He's going to come down to where this boy is at. He's going to come down and lay his flesh on the dead flesh of this young boy. He's going to put his mouth on his mouth, his hands on his hands. He's going to come down to the lowest place there is. Is there any place of any more uncleanliness than the dead?
He came down and the boy got up. True, isn't it? Let's look across the page. Or across the page, a page or two, to Naaman. Listen to this story. So Naaman's got leprosy, separated from God, separated from the church. He's a good man, a fine man, a man of nobility, a man that a great man, but he's a leper. You know something? You can have all the morals and all the good things in this world, but outside of Jesus Christ, there's no access to God. In the eyes of God, you're a leprous person. In the eyes of God, you're unclean. So what's going to happen? The little maid says, I would that my master was down in Samaria. The prophet down there would heal him. So listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says that the king sent, and he sent a great sum of money, sent it down to the king of Samaria, or the king of Israel, to recover Naaman of his leprosy. Can he do that? What does man need? Does man need a doctor, or does man need a savior? Most people want a doctor to fix what's wrong with them today. Tomorrow there'll be something else wrong. And next year there'll be something else wrong. And 5 years from now there'll be something else wrong. And friend, the doctor will work and work and work and work and work on you and work on you over and over and over again, and you're still going to die. We need a Savior. Elisha heard about it. He said, send him down here to me. You're all tore all to pieces because this man come with money and thought you could cure him. Send him down here to me. You know something? You think with me. The Word of God is not afraid of any challenge, is he? Elisha is the Word of God. The Word of God is not afraid of whatever challenge you want to put in it. He said, send him down to me. I can fix him. Thank God we've got something, ladies and gentlemen, that can fix whatever your problem is. He's got leprosy. No doubt he'd probably tried every cure and everything that everybody ever told him about. Been to a doctor, probably like the woman that had the issue of blood. Our friend, instead of spending all that she had and getting better, she spent all that she had and grew worse. But the Word of God says, bring him to me. He heard the king had rent his clothes, verse 18. Why have you rent your clothes? Let him come now to me. He shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Thank God he'll know that there's a word from God in Israel. So Naaman came to the house. Now listen to the story. I know it's familiar to you. But he came to the house with his horses and his chariots, and he stood at the door, and Elisha sent a messenger. Elisha didn't come out. He sent him a word. He said, you go down to Jordan and dip 7 times and you'll come out clean. Elisha came to the Shunammite's house. Here's another miracle. This miracle, he's not coming
but he's going to send his word.
Okay? By the same fellow that carried that staff in the previous miracle. And Elisha sent a messenger and said, go wash in Jordan 7 times and thy flesh shall come unto thee and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away. You know what he thought? He thought, I'm an important man. I'm a good man. I've won many a battle for this man I work for. I've done a lot of good things. This man ought to come out to me.
Yeah.
I tell you what he's going to do. In the day that we're living in, he's going to send you his word. And if you're not willing to obey the word, know this, that your uncleanliness will remain. If you're not willing to accept and obey the word, your inability to come before God is still going to remain. So Naaman's wrong. He said, I thought, now this is the thinking of man, this is carnal man, this is the logic of man, this is common sense, this is God has given us common sense. You show me some common sense right here, folks. Show me some common sense. Show me some common sense when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego says, no, we're not bowing. Show me some common sense when Daniel says, I'm going to pray. Show me some common sense when Elisha says, go to muddy Jordan and wash. Show me some common sense. There is none. God said, hear my word. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge me, and I shall direct your path.
Right.
Do you reckon we ought to believe God?
Right.
We ought to use some common sense. If Naaman uses common sense, he's going to die a leper. Did it make common sense to the Jews that their Savior died between two thieves, nailed to a cross? Never ever did he plead his case. Never plead his case. Died there as a lamb, dumb before his shearer. Show me some common sense. But the ignorant and the unlearned men that took a beating and counted it great joy to suffer for the Savior because they had been with Jesus. They believed a story that was unbelievable. Naaman was wrong. I thought we need to throw our thinking out the door and believe what the Word of God says. This is enmity against God. This is enmity against God. A deep-seated hatred against God comes from here, grows, flows from this fountain, flows from this flesh. My common sense, my thinking will never line up with the Word of God. But thank God there was a Word that came down. And you know something? For man to be healed, he'll have to come down too.
Yes, he will.
Do you remember what the nobleman said? The nobleman said, sir, ere you come down, my child is going to die. But the Bible went on to say, as he went down, as he went down, they met him. And they said, your son liveth. When did he start to get better?
about the seventh hour yesterday, about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, his fever left and he started improving. And the man said that was the very time that the Word of God came out. Yeah. What's Naaman going to have to do? He's going to have to come down. If you're going to be healed, if you're going to be saved, if you're going to be born again, if you're going to enjoy the gifts of God, if he came down, do you reckon I'm going to have to come down? This is what the Bible said. You know, common sense said, Abana and Pharpar are a lot better rivers than Jordan. Well, I'll get all the rivers of Damascus, they'll get all the glory. No, I tell you what God says do. God says go down to muddy, nasty, filthy Jordan. Go down to nasty, filthy, muddy Jordan and wash there. Who's going to get the glory? The Word of God's going to get the glory. This is what the book says. He threw common sense out the window and he believed God. Verse 14. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Now you know something? Naaman's got a new birth. Naaman's a new man. Not only is he clean, he's so clean that his flesh looks like a little baby. My flesh don't look like a little baby anymore. If we go back there and we get Josiah and we see how plump and how soft and how everything is just filled out and smooth as can be, Naaman got a flesh like that when he believed the Word of God. He got a new birth. Who shall God look to? Who would God incline to? Him that is of a broken heart and a broken and a contrite spirit, to that man or that woman that would come down. Right. He would come down to you. He sent his word down that we could live. Sir, ere thou come down, my son is going to die. So I say this, he's done his part. He's done his part, and he's done my part that I couldn't do. He's done your part that you couldn't do, and he's made life available if we would be willing to come down.
Right.
See, God hates pride. God hates pride. He does. He hates it. In the book of James, I thought I'd hush, but if you'll bear with me, just another, not more than 5 minutes, if that. God resisteth the proud, James chapter 5, verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Now, Jesus humbled himself unto death. That means to be made low. You know what God could do? I tell you, if you'd be willing to come down, God could help you. God could give you grace for your sin. Instead of you being sinful and on the road to hell, our friend, and with a noose around your neck and the life being choked out of you, if you would be willing... Now, he's already come down. But he calls for us to come down now and for us to humble ourselves. He said he hates the proud.
Right.
God resists us. You know what he is? He's an opposer to the proud.
Right.
But he giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves. There's that word. There's that word again. So he yielded. He yielded. He was a subordinate. Yield yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. 1 Peter. He says this. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. I ask you this, friend. If Jesus Christ humbled himself and became obedient unto death on the cross, and God exalted him, do you reckon this word in Peter, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you, reckon that's true as well?
Right.
Would you be willing to come down to live? I tell you what, I'll just say it like this. You know, I'd hate to be found naked. I would. I'd hate for you to see me naked. But I'll tell you this, if the house is on fire, I'll jerk my clothes off if they're burning me. I'll jerk my clothes off and run out naked if that's what it takes to have life. I'll jerk off my pride and lay it all aside if it means life. I believe you'd do the same. I believe you'd jump out of the bed naked as a jaybird and run out the door if the house was on fire. But we won't come to the altar and lay aside our pride.